In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is never shallow.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christos vos cresci. Christos anviat. Today, as we come to the week after 8 days after the resurrection of Christ to the Sunday of St. Thomas, we are given a few themes to contemplate. The disciples are shut up in the upper room, and they have, what's indicated, both doors locked. It says they are afraid of the Jews. The disciples, we could say, are traumatized. They're frightened. And they have a very real fear that the persecution and the death of their Savior ultimately might lead to their deaths, that they might die. It's in this context that Jesus enters the room through the closed doors, and he says, "Peace to you." And he gives them peace. And in this context, you can imagine that the disciples, again, still don't know that the Lord is risen until he steps within their midst. And so you see something interesting happening. In the moment of greatest fear, when the disciples are cowering, Jesus comes into their midst and gives them peace. And if you know anything about the theology or thoughts about creation, there's certain things to think about. The language, Jesus gives them peace, and then he's going to say, "Peace be unto you," and he's going to breathe on them again. He's going to breathe on them and give them the grace and gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you've read the initial chapters of Genesis, after Adam is formed from the dust of the ground, it says that the Lord breathed on him. The language is exactly the same. In Genesis, it says that Adam became a living soul. We are to understand the connection between these two passages because everything that Christ does in his life, his death on the cross, his descending into Hades and conquering death, and then his raising from the death, this is a reforming of man. This is a recreation. And so this is the final act of recreation, is breathing that breath of life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, upon his disciples in the upper, in where they are hiding. Now, when he does this, he gives them a commission, a mission. He says, "As I was sent from the Father, so I send you." So we see that salvation, the death, the resurrection of Christ, the gospel message, them receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not merely something for them to feel well-adjusted and comfortable and pleasurable and to simply, you know, have good feelings of peace as they sit in the upper room. It's like, well, thank God the Lord is alive. Now we can relax. He's breathed on us and everything is well. Oof. Wow, what a drama that was, right? No, he gives them a commission. "As the Father sends me, so I have sent you." And they are to go out and to preach the gospel. And as they spend 40 days with Jesus, learning furthermore and having the scriptures open to them, and eventually being filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, we see that this mission is being formed. To have the gift of the Holy Spirit is also to be missionary. But what is the spirit of their nature, of their being missionary? We have many, many missionaries in the Orthodox Church outside of it. Some would say it's an area we've neglected. But in the background, have you ever asked what motivates people to be missionaries? What motivates people to go out of this church in the local area and talk to people about Jesus Christ? Well, in today's gospel, our Lord breathes on them, he gives them peace. And so hopefully, the filling with the Holy Spirit and being filled with peace would be something that would ultimately motivate them, that they had received the witness of the Lord and that this was utterly transformational for them, that they would go out and tell the disciples, and they would go out into all the world, essentially, to preach this very unique message. But I only emphasize this idea of peace because I think sometimes our missionary efforts are done in anxiety. Some of us may be pressured to missionize because we want to grow the church budget. Or we're afraid of the collapse of a community. Or when I was a young evangelical, I was afraid that I wasn't adding up. And so there's this idea that the more I missionize, the more I talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, that if I won a soul, I could put another notch on my belt. And somehow that justified my existence. I didn't have peace. I didn't have peace where I could be with people and actually love people. What I did have was an incessant anxiety that told me that I must talk about Jesus Christ, whether I prayed or related to him at that time or not. That's what you have to do. But Jesus prepares his disciples by giving them the Holy Spirit and giving them peace. In the next phase of today's gospel, we're presented with Thomas, who struggles with unbelief, who is called the doubter in history. All the other apostles also doubted until they had seen. But in John's gospel today, we see 8 days later, Jesus comes, he stands in their midst. The disciples have already told Thomas that this exists. They've already shared their peace and their witness to Thomas, and Thomas isn't going to believe it. And I think that on some level, this is to prepare us as well to think about it. That just because you've had a profound experience of Jesus Christ, his resurrection in your life, and just because you've been given a peace at times that passes all understanding, it doesn't mean that when you go out there to talk about him, that anybody's going to believe you. You see, one of the things that we do when we missionize is that we pray for others that they would have their own experiences of Jesus Christ. Now, it is important that we are in touch with our own story, our own testimony, so to speak. It is important that we do what we can to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we missionize, we'll say, in our own unique way, because some write books, some do podcasts, some found churches, some go overseas, and you're not called to do every one of those things. But in your life, some sing in the choir, some go out and they teach in colleges, but in some small way, some are simply quiet and prayerful. In some way, you are called to spread the gospel of peace, in a spirit of peace. But that doesn't, again, guarantee that anybody's going to receive it. So our Lord does something remarkable. He could have easily chided Thomas. He could have punished Thomas. He could have said something maybe, you know, quoted like in the book of James, you know, the double-minded man is unstable in all his way. You shall get nothing. He could have said something like that. But it's very clear that this is not within the spirit of who Christ is. He comes down to Thomas's level. He shows him the hand. He shows him the side. There is no mention in the gospel specifically of Thomas putting his hand in Jesus' side. We can guesstimate by the icons, and we can say that traditionally many have believed that that hand went into the side, that the finger went into the print. But from the text we just read, it doesn't mention any of that. What it does mention is immediately a confession of faith. Why is Thomas confessing this faith now that he sees the nails in the side. The same reason the disciples were, because they've had their direct experience of Jesus Christ, their personal experience. They've had an encounter. Ultimately, when we go out and missionize in any sort of spirit of peace, that's what we're praying for. That's actually what we're praying for when you come to church. What I pray for, when you venerate icons, when you hear the gospel preached, when you receive communion, everything that's done in the church is done in a spirit and with prayers, specifically with prayers, that say that when you approach, our goal is that somehow you would have an encounter, a life-giving encounter, a revelation of who Jesus Christ is as our Lord and our God. You see, ultimately, it is God's job to convert the world. Ultimately, it is the Spirit of grace that will transform hearts, that will facilitate the encounter. He does this through people, so it does require our participation. But it also removes the anxious factor when we encounter doubt. And we also could say that we shouldn't be anxious even about our own doubts. If our Lord is willing to condescend to Thomas and allow him to come to faith in the way that Thomas needs to come to faith, certainly in the same way for each one of us when we struggle with doubts of the faith, of doubts of our Lord, he is willing to also empty himself and condescend to our level. So, as we enter into this new creation, as we celebrate our Lord's Holy Pascha, and we continue into the feast, this 50 days leading to Pentecost, let's not forget the vocation and the mission which each Christian has been given by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Secondarily, if we could fill up with the Holy Spirit and find a sense of peace, to find a sense to lay aside our anxieties, so that when we're talking to people about our Lord, which we should be doing, which we can do, that we would speak with a spirit of peace rather than a spirit of pressurized talking points and that I need you to convert. Finally, we will encounter doubt, and doubt is not really taboo in the Christian faith. Our Lord easily condescends and conquers it, not only in our lives, but in the lives that we will encounter with other people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Indeed.